And Luke chapter 1 verse 46 says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy in his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a joy to be here. And Lord, as we'd lifted up so many things and request, and Lord, hoping for your approval, hoping for your healing, Lord, hoping to see your hand work. Lord, now we come to you ready to listen, ready to hear. Help us, Lord, to exalt your Son and to keep him in an honorable place and keep him first in all things. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I read an article recently, and I know many of you have read the same, and somebody posed the question, and again, I run the risk of defending something here. I'm not really trying to defend. But the question that he asked is, why should we, or the Bible, though the point that he made was, the Bible doesn't say we should celebrate the birth of Christ. And I had a hard time with that, to be honest with you, because I think you should. And I believe that Scripture tells us that the birth of Jesus Christ should be celebrated. Now, can I sit here and tell you that it should be celebrated on the 24th and 25th? Just specifically? No, I cannot. I'm close. You give me a couple more hours. There's this article I'm waiting to, or this book I'm waiting to come into a PDF that I can get a copy of. I'm close, but I can't tell you that it's the end of December. I can't tell you, there's many that sit there and say, well, his birth was most likely in September. I can't tell you yes or no to that. I'll tell you why we think it was in September. It's kind of ridiculous, but I don't tend to agree with it. But maybe it's in September. Some say, well, maybe it was in March. Maybe it was in this month. Maybe it was in that month. Here's the conclusion that I have come to, that not only does Scripture tell us we ought to celebrate the birth of Christ, but we ought to celebrate the birth of Christ as often as we celebrate the death of Christ. And by celebrate, I mean we honor him. We respect him in that. I heard in my research as I was digging through some things that the early Christians didn't celebrate the birth of Christ. They were more interested and more focused on what happened because of the death of Christ. And I can say amen to that. The cradle, the cross, we needed it all. And not just those two things. We needed a tomb, and not just any tomb. We needed an empty tomb. And we got all three. And in doing so, and the Lord fulfilling these things, we have salvation. We have an eternity. So I tell you what, I will celebrate the birth of Christ. And I'm going to point out a few things here. Number one, who in the Bible celebrated the birth of Christ? Number one, John the Baptist. Previous to reading this, when Mary came in and she spoke, who leapt with joy being filled with the Holy Ghost? John the Baptist did. Right there in his mommy's tummy. Man, that used to freak me out. Then he would say, hey, the baby's kicking. Now, some of them, like you could really tell, like we couldn't tell in the moment, but looking back, I could tell that the way they acted in her stomach was a telltale sign of what was to come. You know what I mean? You sit there, you see a whole hand come out. And you go, oh, hey! Hey, buddy! You know? Slept. That's the Bible account. He celebrated the birth of Christ. Did he do it on the 25th, 24th? I don't think so. But he celebrated it. He was excited. Oh, brother, that's just something that the Lord did there. That's not a real celebration. All right, let's cut over to what we've looked at tonight. Mary celebrated Jesus Christ. Look at this that she has said here. Many people said that this is Mary's song. It says said, not sang. But hey, it's all the same, right? This was the prayer where she lifted up the Lord. And she praised his name for his goodness to her. And praised his name for salvation. She celebrated him. And we would see later after his birth where there was many things that came to be. Verse 19 of chapter 2. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I was looking at some pictures because I guess I just wanted to cry. But I was looking at some of our baby pictures, and some of the Danielle's family had sent over some pictures of the kids when they were little. Some of them still are little, but when the older boys were little. And you just start to, oh, they're so cute. And you look at them today and you're proud of them. They're strong and they're growing up handsome and you're very pleased with how everything's going. But the whole tapestry together, they're your children. You know what I'm talking about. It makes you a little teary when you look back. Man, you're just a baby yesterday. Yesterday we were trying to get you to understand how to eat and get you how to crawl and get you where you could walk. And now look at you. We can't get you to sit down and be quiet. And you get proud of them. You get proud of them. Look how far you come and look at the things that you can do. And it is in a parent's heart to celebrate and love their children. And that's exactly what Mary was going through. Don't think for a second that the experience that Mary went through wasn't like yours. She probably had a little bit more going on because that was the Son of God. But she went through everything you went through. Watching him. Listening up in the middle of the night, hearing him breathe. You ever do that? You used to sit there in front of the doors, just listen to him breathe. Wasn't worried, sometimes I was, but you just listen. Listen to their little breathing. Now, Melody, we don't have to do that. She's been coming into our bedroom at 3 a.m. and breathing right in front of our faces. Very convenient. Oh, but you treasure those moments. Jesus came as a baby. Not just anybody's baby, but Mary's baby. And she was one to be glad, to celebrate, and to rejoice in this birth. So my friends, should we, like Mary, should we, like John the Baptist in the womb, be glad for Jesus Christ? I think so. And hey, how about this? Let's go to Luke chapter 2 while we are in the neighborhood. And we're going to go to verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What is being said here? Let me tell you, this is an angelic invitation to come celebrate what? The birth of the Savior. This is how you're going to find him. Everything you would find in an invitation to a birthday party is right there. Verse 10, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Hey, this isn't a letter from your insurance company. This ain't a letter from your disgruntled next door neighbor. These are tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Whose celebration is it? Christ the Lord's celebration. And this shall be a sign unto you. This is where you'll find him. This is how to get there. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Who is the third person, or who is the third group of people we see here celebrating the birth of Christ? It is the angels. Now again, it does not say that the angels are singing here, but I tell you what, if they're shouting this, that's close enough for me. Just a singing praises unto God, filling the night sky with light and the sound of their voices, doing what? Heralding the birth of Christ. Can we say when? No, No, we cannot. Can we say what day, what hour? No. You go over to my house. I found this. It was in my mom's basement. Somehow I went over into my basement. When I was born, the doctors gave us a little baby pillow. And on it was some giraffes and some cute little animals. But superimposed over it was like a birth certificate. So it wasn't like the real one, but it was like my name and this and that. It was like that portion of it. You know, this many pounds, this many ounces. Believe it or not, I used to be like 7 pounds. It was pretty cool. Now I lose that much sweat per sermon. But no, we had it all on there. There it is. You could tell when I was born. You could tell where I was born. You could tell to whom I was born. You could tell all those things. Do we know that for him? No, not specifically. But I'll tell you this. I'll celebrate him on a Monday. I'll celebrate him on a Wednesday. I'll celebrate him in September. I'll celebrate him in March. I'll celebrate him in April. You give me the time and I will celebrate him. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his position in heaven right now, preparing a place for you and sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. You better believe I'm going to celebrate him because of what he's done. Look back at Mary's language here, referring to herself as a lowly handmaiden. I want you to feel lowly compared to Christ. I want you to feel like you don't deserve that kind of gift. By the way, thank you very much for the card and the very exorbitant gift that was on the inside. It humbles me that y'all would consider us like that. It humbles me the way y'all take care of us and love on us and give that way. Humbles me. And I tell you what, if that'll humble you, the gift that God has given us will humble you even more. Me? Now listen, you tell me that the Lord came down to die for Sister Glenda or Sister Mary. I say, hey, listen, what a great gift. You know, I can't say they deserve it, but that makes sense to me. You know, you show me somebody out there who's done great for the world, who's got a loving nature, never loses their temper, seems to keep everything nice and organized. You tell me the Lord died for that person, I go, all right, ain't God good. But you tell me he died for me, tell me he died for me, and man, that's... That makes less sense. That makes less sense. She sat there, oh, this is my lonely handmaiden. There's the angels ripping the sky open in front of these shepherds, just singing his praises, telling them what greatness that Christ would bring, who he would be to this world. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest. Listen, if we're going to say we're celebrating Jesus Christ better be who we're celebrating. That's all I've got to say. He better be who we're celebrating. You know, if we're going to sit there and say, hey, listen, every Sunday we celebrate Christ, he better be the main person. He better be the highest person referred to in that church service. I've seen the things on TV where they'll get the praise leader up there, and the praise leader gets up and everybody's giving him a standing ovation and a round of applause, and the pastor will start to preach, and you just start to see people walking out and away from the aisles and going to the bathroom and getting their coffee refilled, and they're back in time for that praise leader to come back up and start going through the motions again. They're back in time for the rock concert. Thank you for that 15-minute preach. Intermission. It's a joke. The Lord ought to be who we're celebrating. The Lord ought to be who we're lifting up. It ought to be the Lord. We get this idea of we're celebrating the Lord, but we're going to do so from home. I can't believe the pastor had church on Sunday. They ought to cancel church on Sunday when it falls on a holiday like this. And there's many churches that you see they're closed. You know, I was getting up this morning, and sometimes to get here, I'll come up Francis. Sometimes I'll come up Mount Morris. Come up Mount Morris, there's that Catholic church across the way. I'll be honest, I got nosy. I wanted to see. And guess what? It's packed down there at the driving school. It's packed. And I said, well, the Catholics got up for it. And I bet if I drove by an Anglican church, they got up for it. Lutheran church, they probably got up for it. And I came in, and I was so very glad to see each and every one of you here this morning. I had no doubts in my mind. But we got up for it. Got up for what? Sunday morning. That's what today is, by the way. Sunday. What do we do on a Sunday? Hey, listen, we preach. We have Sunday school class. We might take it a little bit easy on this or that here or there, but I tell you what, who we exalt first and foremost above everything else ought to be Christ. Glory to God in the highest. And did you know that the angels were not the only ones? The shepherds, they did go. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I want you to imagine those of you who have given birth, or maybe you dads who are able to stay conscious. You get to the end and you're calming the baby down and everything's going well and we're getting all the new baby things out of the way you do when you got a few hour old baby. And all of a sudden here come a bunch of sweaty shepherds kind of peeking in. Hey, there's a baby in there. We found him. Could you imagine that? Wouldn't that be weird? Some of us, like, we had to sit there and tell relatives, all right, don't come until we call you. Anybody have that relative? Maybe a handful of relatives? Do not show up at that hospital until I show up. Today is my niece's birthday. This is bad. Today is my niece's birthday. When she was born, I was at work, and we were salting things because it was snowing, and we were taking care of stuff at work and getting that holiday overtime in. And my brother had gotten into a rather serious car wreck. And the same day she was being born, and in the same hospital she was being born, I think it was right around 10, 11 o'clock at night, something like that, and they'd stopped letting a lot of folks in. Well, my brother got into the car wreck, and they let me right in to go see him, and I talked to him for a little while, and he was all banged up, but at the same time I knew, this is a few floors up, is my niece, and that little girl was my world at the time. So I just kind of, you good? Yeah, I'm good. You going to do that again? No, I'm not going to. He would, but yeah. All right, fine. And I went out, and I didn't say anything to anybody, and I didn't ask anybody's permission, and I didn't see if it was okay. I just went. I just kind of texted my brother-in-law. Hey, JR, I'm coming on up. Is it cool? Oh, yeah, she's fine. She's eating her food. Just come on up. So I got up there, and they were decent. I got to hold my niece before anybody else. And I tell you what, that was probably by far one of the best presents you could ever have. And I tell you what, I love that girl today. What a precious person she is. But I came in. It was 11 o'clock at night. Jared's wife was tired as tired could be. She was not ready for me. Yeah, she was ready to eat some food and tuck her down. Meanwhile, I was in there. Hey, you know, being the clown I was, being so excited and happy, and I had the wrong kind of energy for the moment. It was almost like somebody was too happy at a funeral, man. It was quiet time, quiet time. Would you imagine those shepherds just peeking in? You know, she's resting. She's getting everything quiet. She's getting everything ready. She's healing. She's getting herself situated. And here come all these shepherds to do what? To celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, you want to argue over the day, you want to argue over the time, I got a good fix for you. You want to know when you ought to celebrate the Lord's birthday? I think I've already said it a few times. Every day. Every day. So when I read and I see things, and again, I mean, no disrespect to brethren who hold this point of view. You know I love those preachers out there. You know I respect them, and you know I've got the good sense, at least I hope you know I got the good sense, to stay quiet and look into things before I open my mouth. But when you tell me not to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ just because it's December 24th or 25th, you're telling the wrong person. I am nothing without him. I have everything because of him. There's not a I could live my life poor, destitute, with a broken body, and still be the richest man on earth because of him. You can't tell me not to celebrate him on a certain day. You can't, because I'm going to celebrate him every day. Are you going to celebrate him on the 4th of July? Are you going to celebrate him on Easter? I'm going to celebrate him every day, no matter what the rest of the world is doing. Why? Because glory to him in the highest. In the absolute highest. No one else between me and the Lord. And I will hold him up because he is my life. Because he is my guide. Because he is my heavenly Father. And I owe him that. I'll never repay the gifts that he has given. Never. But I will give him everything I can. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds had a problem. I'll just say it. They had big mouths. And they're going out into the streets and they're going out walking around. Jesus Christ was born. He was born. That Savior that we talked about, he was born, and the angels, they ripped the sky open and they were singing praises, and the sheep were running around all crazy, and there was nothing else we could do but come on into town and take a look at this child. And we went right where they said he was, and there he was, and he looked just like any other baby, but he's different. He's special. Oh, they celebrated and they told everybody where the party was. Verse 22 of chapter 2, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that, and we understand this, everyone that would be open in the womb, they would come, they would offer sacrifice, the circumcision would be done. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That word Christ there means anointed one. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now listen, it is quite some time here, as we can see. It says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. So after the given period of time, so if you're paying attention to the calendar, not the 24th, not the 25th, many, 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 many days after, they bring him in, and who is still there to celebrate the birth of Christ? Simeon is. And he waited. And he walked with the Lord, and he was close with the Lord, to the point where the Holy Spirit was upon him, and the Holy Spirit revealed unto him, hey, listen, you will not die before you see him. And he's sitting there in his house, and the Holy Spirit troubles him to go up into the temple, and he goes up into the temple, and there's the child. And I'm telling you this, he probably heard the rumors. News travels fast in small towns. News travels fast. And no doubt he had heard of this child was born, drawn to the temple. There he was. He was able to hold the Savior he was waiting for. He was able to see the child he had lived long enough to be able to see. And he praised God for him. So tell me again, where in the Bible does it say we should or should not celebrate the birth of Christ? Now, I'm with them, man. I'm with them. I can't say 24th. I can't say 25th. I'm going to keep repeating that a few more times just to make sure I don't get in trouble. But I absolutely need to celebrate the birth of Christ every day. And not just because, I'm not going to stop just because we want to hold off and make sure that the world doesn't get us confused. I'm not going to let them take that from us. You understand that's how a lot of things that were godly became worldly? Because the worldly people started doing them, and godly people were like, whoa. And you know what we did? We let them have stuff. Remember back when Israel was being sacked, and all those gold shields and all the gold and silver that David had gathered together was being taken by different places. And after a while, those things didn't exist anymore. And after their being able to go back to their home, under Ezra, as they were going there, a lot of that stuff began to come back. Under Nehemiah, a lot of that stuff began to come back, but a lot of it was gone. Christians, if we do not hold on to the things that are God's, the world will take them and keep them. What is it that we see today? Rainbows everywhere you look. That rainbow don't belong to them. That's a promise God made to us. And you know what we did? We held back and we held back. And listen, I don't hold a lot of stock in Ken Ham's doctrine and his theology, but I'll tell you this, I was awfully proud of him putting those rainbow lights on the ark. Well, aren't you afraid that it's going to look like you're in solidarity with them? Nope. Because that rainbow belongs with that ark. That belongs with that ark. It reminds us. You continue to be wicked. Right? And there is this fiery judgment coming. But I won't destroy the world with water again. That is our promise from the Lord. To remind us of a time when we were wicked and vile. To a point in a time where the imaginations and thoughts of every man was only wickedness. We ought not let them take things from us. I've said this before about some of these songs that we've been singing over the last few. I firmly do not believe that those songs just belong on the 25th or in December just because the world says that's where they go. We ought to be singing those all the time, in my opinion. We ought to sing just as much about the cross as we do the birth and His sacrifice and who He is and singing His praises in all things. We don't let the world take things from us. At least we shouldn't. And again, it was not just Simeon. As we move forward a little bit, we see Anna was there. Anna was there. We see a little bit about her life there, but we see her celebration of the birth of the Lord, her excitement to see Him. Man, what would you give to have been able to have been in that temple on that day? Now, if I had to pick, I'd like to be right outside that tomb when that stone came out. I know I wouldn't get to see him because he left before the stone rolled away. But man, I would have loved to have been sitting on that angel's shoulder as those disciples came running in. And he ain't here. Man, I get a kick out of that. I would like to be in the upper room. Where I'd sit in Thomas's seat, just so I can be there when he shows up. Those are moments I'd probably like a little bit more. But man, I would not be upset at having to have been here in that moment. I'd be so excited to have been there. Here's this child. But not just a child, no. There's that song, oh, and I can't remember what it is, but it refers to Jesus as a baby. And it says, oh, how lovely, oh, how cute. And I get what they're saying, and I got to be careful being overly critical. But I have a hard time looking at the Son of God going, oh, that's cute. I'm sure he was an adorable baby, but that's the Son of God lying there. That's all the power in the universe lying there. That is the triune God. That is the Word lying there. That is my Savior lying there. I have a hard time using the word cute. It almost seems too infantilizing, but that's kind of what we're talking about. You get it hits me wrong, but I'm sure it's okay. But even though he was a baby, that is the Son of God. I take issue, and please don't get mad at me if you've got one of these. I take issue with the nativity scenes. Because what do they have in the food trough? The baby. Who's the baby? Well, that's Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. I struggle with that. Why? Because even though, well, it's okay because it's just a baby. No, that is a graven image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't even let pictures of Jesus Christ into the Sunday school class if I can avoid it. So I struggle in that a little bit. But the main thing here is that when we see Simeon and Anna holding this child, it is not just some baby. It is not just some precious weak thing. It is still God with us. It is still Jehovah. And we need to treat him with that respect and treat him with that love. Jesus came to die on a cross. And I am willing to celebrate his birth, his life, and his death, his resurrection, and his placement in heaven right now. Now again, I can't get involved with these arguments. Well, I think it was in the fall. I think it was here. Listen, you look up and down there, you're not going to find when it was. I like this one somebody said recently. Well, you see how they were the shepherds were out in the fields with the sheep. You see, this is December. It would have been very cold, and it's not good to keep your sheep out in the field when it's cold. Now, of course, Jerusalem this time of year is around 45 degrees. Now, I don't know, where do you guys keep your livestock when it's 45, 50 degrees outside? You bring it in the house, let it sit in the bathtub. I always got, well, where do you think they put the sheep? Well, you know, at that point, we all rent apartments for the sheep. Or we bring them into large barns, we bring them into this. 45, 50 degrees, you're outside with them. 45, 50 degrees, you're not bringing them in. Right? So can we say it was December? Can we say it wasn't December? Well, go for it, man. Here's the better solution, as I said, every day. Every day. The kids used to sing this song back at Flat Rock every day. Was it every day, every hour, every minute, right down to the second? God's love, it stays with me wherever I go. So why not? Why not today? Why not tomorrow? Why not every day for the rest of our lives? Because I'm going to tell you this, you're going to want to have plenty of time to prepare before we get to heaven, because that's what we're doing up there. That's what we're doing. Anybody here, you're confident with your singing? Again, I'm thankful Brother Charlie came up here and did that. Anybody here, you're super confident with your singing? Now, no one's going to put their hand up because they know that you're probably going to be called on to sing on Wednesday. Right? That's what you're going to be doing up in heaven, by the way. You better get to practicing. Anybody here, you're comfortable shouting, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You might not be comfortable doing that among a bunch of God's people right now, but you better get ready for it, because that's what you'll be doing for forever. Well, you know, I don't think we ought to be celebrating that. Listen, we're going to be celebrating all of Christ for all of eternity. We're never going to get over it. Now down here, the body gets tired, we get physically upset, emotional things happen, spiritual things happen, we're always at warfare down here, but we're going to leave that down here, and we will be our pure, unadulterated, unmessed around with selves up there, and you're going to have about as much energy as some of these kids, and you will be using it, my friends. Walking around, running around, seeing folks, all the time basking in the light that is Jesus Christ. Man, if I'm going to be doing it up in heaven, and it was good enough for John the Baptist, now he sits pretty lofty, so I'm going to hold, I got you. And if it was good enough for Mary, the lowly handmaiden, and it was good enough for some dirty old shepherds sitting out there in a field, and if it's good enough for the angels, and it's good enough for Simeon, and it's good enough for Anna, it's good enough for me. Because Jesus Christ is better than any of us. And he deserves every bit of celebration. Think about what we were, what we could be without him. And then tell me, should we ever celebrate Christ every day? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your son. Lord, thank you for the gift that was given down. Lord, I pray that in this contention and the fighting over paganism and fighting over church truth and theology, help us, Lord, never to lose your word. Help us, Lord, never to stop taking you seriously. Help us, Lord, to continue raising you and your son up in praise and adoration, because, Lord, you above all deserve it. Thank you again, Father. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll have the musicians come forward. You know what? Why not, brother? No, don't. We didn't go over this. Every time I do this, you realize I didn't think about it.